Welcome to SD Europe's podcast. My name is Luke Cox. I lead SD Europe's communications. And today we are back with another interview. So for this episode, I spoke to Klaus Bjørn Bielschøi, who is the new elected fan representative on the board of Danish side Brøndby IF. Now, for those new to the concept of fan elected directors, the purpose of the role is to make sure that the views supporters are taken into consideration and listened to right at the top of decision making in football clubs. And this is a really excellent interview with Klaus. He offers a really open and honest insight into his experience in the role so far. And it really offers a good understanding of what the benefits are for supporters, but also for clubs too. So let's just get straight into it, I think. Okay, cool. Well, let's get right into it, Klaus. So to begin with, can you introduce yourself, how long you've been a Brøndby supporter and how long you've been involved as a part of the fan department too?
And first of all, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Klaus. I'm 50 years old and I have been following Brøndby for the last 35 years. Myself, my family, my friends. Brøndby is a common ground in my family, but also in my social base. We are 8-9 men at my age that has known each other our whole life, that has season tickets next to each other and has followed Brøndby, yeah, forever, you could say. And we are there with our children, our wives, our friends, or you can say friends in the next tier. So we are a large group that has season tickets next to each other, and I've been an active part of the, you can say, fan department in Brøndby since its beginning, turning from Brøndby Supporters Trust to fanouting the fan department, and that is 3.5 years ago or so. I was brought into this work, and has found it very, very interesting, and also given another dimension to my love to Brøndby. Instead of just, you can say, being a fan with my friends, I have seen another dimension within my relationship to Brøndby, which has been really, really inspiring and very, very, you can say, calling for even more. So it's been a very, very great experience, and I'm very grateful to the people that dragged me along to a meeting and tied me to the chair. So now I'm here and I really, really enjoy it and try to give back to the community as good as I can.
Wow, yeah. And I mean, what you said about there at the beginning, you know, going along with the same group of people, now you're bringing your kids. That's what it's all about, right? That's why we all follow football. It's that togetherness.
It is. I'm so proud. I have a boy aged 23 and another one aged 21, and both of them are full-blown Brøndby supporters. The oldest one has a Brøndby shirt on every day at his work, and the youngest one is very, see all the games, both of them have season tickets, and they've been following the team all the way up in growing up, when it hasn't went so well. As you can see behind me here, there's a poster of the championship this summer, so and they were there, so that was a large, it was a really kind of a relief for me that my sons were able to experience the championship as well. We had thought about whether they would ever be able to see that in their lifetime, and it came to them now. So you can say, check, done. some of the more core perspectives is now settled, and we need to focus on developing it even further. Yes.
Great. Just sort of more talking now about, as I said at the beginning before we start recording, congratulations, the new fan representative on the board of Brøndby. And of course, for SD Europe's website, we previously did an interview with Lasse, who's one of the SD Europe board members. He was chair of the fan department and he was one of the SLOs at the club. And we spoke to him about the fan representative role, and it'd be good to get it sort of in your words. What does it mean to you, and how do supporters feel influenced through the fan representative?
I think it's to answer that question, you have to answer that in many different levels, you could say. On a very large perspective, I believe it's part of the narrative of the football club that I follow, that it acknowledges fans and in a way where you can have a fan sitting at the board. I would say that all the other members at the board as well are also fans in some aspect. But you can say the agenda that I will be following and the perspective that I will bring to the table is more directly related to being a fan. I think it's very, very important on a large scale that we see this fan engagement in clubs and also in the boards and taking decisions, laying out the strategic framework, that you have one that is a dedicated fan and brings that perspective to the table. It's also full of dilemmas because there is so many agendas you need to combine to a strategy and to a everyday management of a football club, and therefore it's difficult. It has so many dilemmas within it, and therefore it's not just saying one thing and then saying that's how it will be, because there's so many other perspectives you need to address. But I think it's a key part of developing football clubs, and you can say that from a Danish perspective, to have a license to play in the best league, you need to have a lot of things you need to have compliance on. That could be the size of the pitch, etc. But having a fan representative in the board is not part of it. And I do believe that looking into the license system, we need to address this further on. That getting a license to play in a certain league, of course, it would be relevant that you have a pitch that is equivalent, etc., but also that you have some governance where fans are included in the governance structure. And I think that is a way to move forward and actually to address that that's not where we are today. And for me, that should be, you could say, just a basic statement, a basic framework to have an access to play football. We'll say somehow we need to integrate the fan perspective in the governance structure to get a license to play. Instead of only, you can say, physical aspects, of course, also governance aspects. And this is something that I would like to address even more on a European level, but also on a Danish level. And then you could say in Brøndby specifically, to be a fan representative, I think it's part of our narrative, it's part of our story. It's due to magnificent work done by fans in Brøndby over the last 10, 15, 20 years that has now, over the last, 4 or 5 years now, that it has been mandatory to have a fan representative at the board. And therefore, I'm extremely humble that it's now me carrying that torch, and I will hold this torch, you could say, for 2 or 3 years, and then we'll have to bring it on to someone else. And therefore, it's very important that I are aligned with the traditions going backwards. What is it that we in Brøndby think it's important? Why do we think it's important? Of course, it's my task also to develop it, but still be very, very respectful and aligned with our history, and then also be aligned with, you can say, everyday politics, discussing with other fans, but also being able to act in such a professional way that I can sit at a boardroom and act as a full-blown board member instead of just being the fan representative that always says the same thing. Because if I come into this and you can say, we know what Klaus will say because et cetera, my value is nothing. So being able to take history, being able to take, you can say, what is the temperature of the fans right now, and somehow act on a professional scale on how then to work with this into all the dilemmas that is going on in the board. And you can say being able to, the capacity, being able to do that is extremely important. So you don't just become a clown sitting in the boardroom. You need to work at that scale. And you can say understanding the language, whatever that's going on there, and then to play a role. And I'm very humble that the fans of Brøndby have thought that I'm able to do that. And I know it's a really big task. I also think that I'm, due to my professional career and other things, would be very relevant in doing that. But it's extremely important that you are aware of your role, because going into that table and just being, something you can say, and I might not use the right now word right now, but being the, you can say, the ordinary fan just saying something. If you actually want to have influence, if you actually want to put a mark on the way the club is run, you need to be extremely professional, and perhaps even more professional being the fan representative than the other parts of members of the board, because you know there you're on a special ticket, that you're there, and you really need to manage that ticket in a really proper way. So being the most professional, the most well-prepared, the most strategic thinking person in the room is the way to have your influence applied into the decisions. And that is something that, of course, you need to work with myself and also to discuss. There's something you cannot discuss, but of course you can discuss certain aspects about it. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would say in general is that it has been extremely emotional for me in a way that I actually didn't think it would be. Because you can see I have a professional life here. I sit in other boards in my professional life. And then my Brøndby life here. And now these things are kind of merged. And that is something that is extremely difficult for me. It was for a period of 2 or 3 weeks. How these things kind of... I was actually now at the board of the thing that is the cornerstone of my life. And how it was really, really emotional. And it took me long nights talking to my wife about how to put things in the right shelves back again in order to be able to that. And that's why I also think it's important not to only hold the torch, as I said, for a certain period, because if you have it too long time, I will have problems being the fan that I also would like to be as a person. So I think it's full of dilemmas, but it's extremely interesting, and I'm so proud that I can't describe it, so to say, that I'm actually now sitting on the board of the football club that my children follow. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, that's it, absolutely. And it's really interesting what you were saying there at the start about fan representatives should perhaps be involved in sort of club licensing, as they call it, to, you know, if a club wants to play in a league, it should have this. And I think, you know, at SD Europe, that's something certainly we agree with. You know, supporter liaison officers are part of UEFA club licensing. If you want to play in the Champions League, you have to have an SLO. And I think it's definitely, you know, at SD Europe, we're saying, you know, football's governing bodies need to put their money where their mouth is now, because for so long they've been saying, you know, football, you know, is for fans, football, you know, football without fans is nothing. We'll prove it. And I think it's also interesting as well what you said there about, you know, to be a fan representative on a board, you know, it takes a professional skill set. And this is something that actually came up when we spoke to two of the guys from Supporters Direct Scotland. We were talking to them about fan representation on boards last summer. And they were saying that lots of sort of club owners up there were quite surprised when a club had a supporter on the board to find out that they were actually really credible and professional people, because often supporters are just thought of this sort of mad bunch that cause problems, which isn't the case at all. You know, football fans could be barristers. Today I found out that President Macron of France, you know, whatever people might think of him, he's a Marseille fan, he's an avid Marseille fan. So, you know, some people can be a football fan and have all sorts of different professional capabilities, and then becoming a, you know, a fan representative on the boards, they can employ this, you know, what they know from their day-to-day life and being a football fan to sort of be of value there.
I must say that there are so much potential in football fans that I think the football or the club owners and the league systems, etc., should acknowledge even more. If you see what we can mobilize of hands, if to do something, social work, how we can mobilize strategic thinking. Football fans has so much potential that isn't fulfilled into you can say, supporting the club's ambition. Of course, on a home game or away game, what I used to say, you play home every 14th day, and there you have all the energy of the stands. But imagine the potential that can be mobilized the 13 other days. And to me, I'm still surprised of how extremely less strategic clubs are, because they tend to see you as a customer coming the 14th day at a home game. But they don't understand that actually I will be love to be involved the 13 other days. Mm-hmm. But they don't create frameworks for it. They think I will only do it online, but online through watching something on Twitter or on the Facebook side of the club. But I'm really surprised of the lack of strategic understanding of the potential that there is of fans the 13 other days, and how what would be going on these 13 other days would implement on the 14th day. Because if they took me as a fan and you can say embodied me into the community of my football club, created relations to other fans and whatever, even though there wasn't a game, the chance that I would come to a game and pay my ticket and buy the shirt would be even larger, and I would create value for the ecosystem around the club the 13 other days. But the clubs, they tend to see you as a customer every 14th day. And I mean, the lack of strategic capabilities there is surprisingly to me. I do believe the club that I support is starting on that journey and is ahead of other Danish clubs. But there's so much potential there of engagement and also on financial gains in a more sustainable way than some kind of investment from a strange person. So there's so much potential that could be mobilized that the clubs don't see. Can you follow me?
Yes, absolutely. I think you're absolutely spot on there. And again, you know, I mean, you, it makes you think, you know, what is the key sort of point, the reason to have a supporter representative on the board is to make supporters feel closer to the club. And it's only going to, if supporters get that feeling from the supporter representative, it's only going to improve other sort of elements of the club as well. So moving on to the next question, and no pressure on this one. So obviously you're elected, it was April, just gone to April 2022. What's your main objective now in the role? What is it that you want to try and achieve whilst you're sitting on the board? No pressure.
No, I'm fine. I think this is really difficult to answer because I'm still so new at the board that I'm not fully aware of what strategic elements they're discussing. So one answer could be the traditional one: secure a sustainable club that keeps focusing on fans, focusing on the local community, these issues. And that would be, you can say, the core of my actions at the board. Then more specifically, of course, I do believe the subject we just talked about, engaging fans more on what I would call the 13 other days, creating this ecosystem, investing in the community around the club even more, is something that is very keen to me. Also the understanding of the professional department, the amateur department, and the fan department, these three departments, how they can be even more interlinked with each other, is something that to me is very, very important. And then basically you could say also trying to secure Brøndby's DNA in a football world that has gone crazy and will go even more crazy. So and then you could say also to try to discuss values of a football club within the community. So the role that I have, I will, of course, sit at a table at the board meeting, and that is a closed meeting with discussions. But I have a role that I can use also outside the board meetings for addressing certain issues like the ones we're discussing here and others. And that voice, how will I use that in a way? And that will be used. That is something that I discuss with the fan department, of course. How shall we use the voice that I have within a discussion around Brøndby on a Danish scale? How can we use the voice that I have due to the fact that I'm part of Brøndby's board to address, you can say, general topics, not Brøndby specific topics, but general topics on how we see football moving on. And that is something dear of the agenda. So I have something of the core about being a fan, why it's important, about enlarging Brøndby's community, and then this, you can say, meta agenda about football developing, where the fact that I am a voice that someone will listen to, how I should use that to address certain issues. And these things should also, there's a clear alignment between these topics, but they will be, you can say, applied on different platforms because it addresses certain different issues. But there's a clear alignment call on it.
Mm. And that's it. And I think you sort of quite conveniently talk sort of around the topic of the next question. So in this role, you know, as you say, as you get more familiar with it and you understand the sort of situation and the sort of strategic, you know, planning that's already going on at the club, do you, and as you said, you know, you have your day job in the week. How do you see your sort of day to day, sort of in the week, in between match days? You know, would you like to try and make yourself available to supporters that want to get in touch with you? How do you sort of see the role sort of coming with you day to day throughout the week?
I think I have two topics here. One is working very closely with the board of the fan department, and of course, an everyday fan can write to me on Twitter, on my mail, or whatever, and I will try to reply. But it's very important that a lot of this dialogue goes to the fan department. So it's not just some individual that has, I believe, buy this half bark or whatever. I want a better sausages in this. I mean, we need to work on these strategic agendas here. And therefore, it has to be aligned with some of the perspectives of the board of the fan department. So a lot of it will be actually to supporting the fan department and talking up the fan department as the arena for fan influence. I'm just a humble servant for fans, and the election of me is facilitated through the fan department, and we do need an even stronger fan department. That is one agenda. So of course everyone can write to me, but I will pull it back and be in a very awesome dialogue with the chairman of the fan department to make sure that we are aligned on strategic issues. Then the other aspect would be, as we talked about before, about a public voice about these agendas that can enlighten and can inspire Brøndby fans and other fans to be engaged in the development of our common football club. So you can say there's an internal channel where we discuss these things within the framework of the fan department. And then there's the more broader public scene where you can have an agenda towards Brøndby fans. And then, of course, if someone would like me to participate in a meeting or have something they would like to discuss, we will meet up before a game or whatever, and I'll be more than happy to discuss certain issues. But it's also important here that in order to develop, to deliver success on the long term, we need to have strategic focus, instead not just some individual's personal perspective. It's important to bring it to the table, of course, but we need to work with some strategic agendas that we actually can deliver on and is, so to say, aligned with some of these strategic decisions taking on in the club. And being a fan representative, if you don't work on the strategic level, but if you fall down on new sausages in this shop or whatever, you lose your credibility. And therefore, it's actually important for me to say no to a lot of things, because if I would say yes and bring things up, I would lose credibility. So the idea here is that to identify and work very closely with the management of the fan department, saying this and this are the agendas we're addressing right now because of whatever. But instead of just, you can say, being colored by everyone I meet, then you lose credibility. We need to, as fans in a fan and as a fan representative of the board of a professional football club, we need to be even more professional than the other members. We need to be even more strategic than the other members. We need to be even more the voice of common sense and at the board. because as football is developing, and I have the greatest respect for the board of Brøndby, but as football in general are developing, you will see that that football is going crazy and will go even more crazy, is my personal belief. And therefore, we need to be the voice and the common sense, what makes sense, how do you do this sustainable in a sustainable way, etc. And therefore, the pressure on me or the role that I have to be even more professional is so important. And therefore, it's about also saying no to a lot of issues that I can't solve and that I will not use my time on, because then I will not be able to deliver on the long-term alignment of what we need in developing the club. And this takes many years.
No, I think you're absolutely spot on there. I think you're completely right. And particularly what you're saying there at the end, you know, football is going to get more crazy, you know, despite the best efforts of, you know, supporters across the continent. European football is going to get more crazy. And, you know, you think about things like the European Super League mess, and you wonder about those clubs involved. And if there was a supporter on the boards of those clubs saying, hold on, guys, are we sure about this? But obviously none of them have that, so they don't benefit from that sort of sober voice that can take a step back and say, wait a minute. And you know, sort of coming on to my final question here, Klaus. So obviously Brøndby are actually one of actually a handful of clubs that actually have a supporter representative. So it would be really interesting to hear what sort of your advice might be to other football clubs. Perhaps there's, you know, maybe somebody reading this or somebody listening to this from a club in France or Spain or Italy or wherever. What would your advice be to them about having a supporter representative on their board?
Go down that way. And to, of course, reach out to other clubs, reach out to individuals that has experience in this. But of course, it is for me so obvious that it will be relevant to have the voice of supporters sitting in the room when you discuss the future of a club. When you discuss the everyday management, if you discuss strategic perspectives, it's good to have voice from the economy department. It's good to have voice of the strategic planning departments. It's good to have voice of the football department. It's good to have the voice of the fan sitting at the table and then balancing these dilemmas in a way that you can secure sustainable development of a football club. And of course, it will be relevant to be in a dialogue with your fans about how do we see this club going forward. So you don't see the scenes that you saw in Bayern Munich's General Assembly or whatever, because it's not good for anyone. It's not good for the club, it's not good for the board, and it's not good for the fans. We need to be aligned even more. And a good way to align these interests is to have talks and dialogue about it. That can develop over time, but that you, as a board management or the board of directors of a football club, open your doors towards bringing this in, this voice into the room, and it can take a period, of course, so you can develop and tune it in the way that makes sense each club. I don't believe there's a one size fits all, but I do believe that there is a progress to be made to develop even further. And then how you do that, you have to sit down and have a dialogue about it. But it gives you credibility and it gives you also a chance to be aligned with your fans in another way than you would be else. And of course, it also puts responsibility of your fans, because the fact that I now am sitting at this table is that I have a lot of, you could say, political work in my backyard that I need to work with. So it's also, I believe, it's a strategic advantage for a club to have a fan representative to secure that your fans are with you and understanding some of the decisions that you need to make in balancing the dilemmas of running a football club. So start the journey, so to say. Reach out to people that has experience on it. Reach out to the CEO of Brøndby or the chairman of Brøndby, for example. Here, what is good? What is bad? What is difficult? What is the advantage? How do you manage it? How do you deal with the dilemmas that is connected to it? And thereby making sure that you can develop the model that you need. And also then, of course, that also creates, because having me at the board or someone else in Brøndby the board also makes sure that we need to have some strategic alignment in the fan scene. So a lot of different groups needs to work together to have a voice. And instead of you have 10 different voices, we have a responsibility now to define what do we think is right, what do we think is good and bad. And therefore, it puts some pressure on us as well. It's not just a honeymoon. It's also hard work to then say, okay, now actually we do have some responsibility that actually is something that we need to take as a grown-ups and understand how do we work with this, because now it's difficult for us just to scream and say we want more of this, more of this. We sit at the table. So now it puts also us on a responsible level, you could say, to develop. And therefore, I think it's good in developing a sustainable football club that you have the fans sitting at the table. Then you can always discuss, should it be fan-owned, should it be whatever. I would say that the people owning Brøndby and the people sitting at the board is Brøndby is fans as well, just as I am, perhaps in another way, and has another voice in it. But the fact that we merge a board with different perspectives will always be an advantage for a football club in developing.
Mm. And that's it. And I think you said something really important there about how, you know, a club situation in say in Ireland is going to be different to a club in Italy, and it's going to be different to a club in Germany. And, you know, a big part about having a supporter representative on the board is just sort of working out how to make that role work best in your club. And it's not going to be exactly the same, but it can be quite sort of flexible in how it works. And I also really liked what you said there as well about how, perhaps maybe, who knows, somebody from an executive from a club may read or listen to this and think that they will get in touch with Brøndby or another club that has a supporter representative to find out about it. And I think that's something else, you know, again, that came up when we spoke about this topic in relation to clubs in Scotland last year, when it came to supporters sort of getting involved at board level. It was often sort of owners talking to owners and sort of almost referring each other. So if that sort of gets the job done, that's no bad thing at all. But yeah, go ahead, Klaus.
No, just saying you're absolutely right. And of course, this is complex, so we need to talk to each other, picking up what works other places to identify your local model, sit down with representatives of your fan groups and try to design a model that suits you. But the basic idea that bringing the fan perspective into the room of the board of directors is, of course, relevant. Then how Absolutely. Do you frame the concrete model or whatever? That's different, a lot of different possibilities there. And then you can say from a fan, football political perspective, I also think it's more and more important that you secure some democratic involvement. And you can say in Denmark, we have a very regulated market, for example, in different other aspects. But football is like the Wild West. Everyone can buy a football club, but everyone cannot. You need a government licensing to opening a shop to sell coffee, but everyone can buy a football club. So also about why is it Wild West going to football, and therefore trying to create some environment about what is it actually owning a football club. It's a cultural institution. It's a football club. It's a business, I know, but it's also a cultural institution, you could say. And you cannot just buy a museum or a church, but you can buy a football club. So we need to work about regulations about that as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, this is a conversation that's going on across Europe, funnily enough, you know, in lots of countries, from Spain to, you know, England, you know, who can own a football club, and are they responsible enough? You know, something that, as you say, is a cultural institution. In many cases, football clubs have been around for 50 or 100 years, and they need to be protected. And a big part of protecting them is sort of making sure that the people that do own them, that are making decisions, are responsible enough to make the right ones, so that these clubs are here for another 10, 20, 50, 100 years. Couldn't agree with you more there, Klaus. but yeah, that was my last question. So that was absolutely fantastic. It was a brilliant insight into
Thank you so much for asking me to participate today. I was really grateful for that. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Well, there we go. Another fascinating interview. Thank you so much to Klaus and to Brombu IF for taking part. Please do let us know what you thought of that interview, and also if there are any other topics that you would like us to do a podcast on, whether it be another on supporters on boards or supporter liaison offices or member-run clubs or the future of European football, whatever. Get in touch with us and let us know. So you can get in touch via our website, which is sdeurope.eu, or on social media, and you can find us just by searching SD Europe. And also, please make sure to listen to the other podcasts we've recorded in the past. There's been some really fascinating interviews over the last year or so. And also, if you enjoyed this podcast, please do recommend it to your friends, your colleagues. And if you want it to be really, really helpful, you could also share it on social media and make sure to tag us in as well. And yes, once again, thank you for listening. Until next time.